Chapter 1. When I first opened my eyes, warm, golden light was streaming into the room, and I wasn't sure where I was for a moment. I rolled over in bed, and I expected to see my beat-up old dresser with a TV on top. Then my groggy brain realized I wasn't alone. A warm body laid on either side of me, and I could smell the heady scents of sandalwood, cherries, and musky sex. Lots of delicious sex. I quickly looked around me and grinned when I saw the gleaming blonde and black hair of my two sleeping wives, Sienna and Jessamine. Oh yeah, I wasn't just Joe the plumber anymore. Since the past few days in Fairyland had transformed me into Joe the hero, I'd even completed a bonding ritual with the two beautiful princesses who now laid on either side of me, which made them mine. I hadn't been too sure about the idea of marriage in my old life, back in Los Angeles, but things were looking out pretty well here in Fairyland. I thought back to the events of the night before, and the grin grew on my face. Threesomes had been the stuff of fantasies when I lived in L.A., but they'd quickly become a nightly ritual here. Barely any time would pass before Jessamine and Sienna were all over me again as they sucked my cock, rode me hard, and basically did anything they could to make me feel good. As if she'd read my thoughts, Jessamine stirred to one side of me, and then she looked up at me all doe-eyed, smiled, and batted her thick, dark eyelashes.
Good morning, my hero,
she mumbled sleepily. She stretched herself out along the length of Sienna's giant mattress, and I caught a glimpse of the entirety of her slim, golden body. My eyes roamed over her round breasts and the patch of curls between her thighs, and an intense heat immediately rose from the soles of my feet to the top of my head. "Wanna replay last night?" I whispered into her ear. She smiled coyly and gently rubbed the tip of my cock between two fingers. I rolled over to kiss her good morning, but I suddenly felt a rough poke in my side. "Hey, that was rude," I gently teased and turned to Princess Sienna, who had opened her azure eyes on the other side of me.
"What are you two up to? It's almost 9 o'clock, and Joe, you're supposed to be out in the courtyard with the knights. A servant will be at the door any minute."
For the past couple of days, I'd been working on my swordplay with the actual knights who defended Sienna's castle. I'd found Jeannie's wrath a few days back when Jessamine and I had rescued Sienna from Jamar's evil soldiers, and I'd been having the time of my life using the giant, golden, gilded blade with the magic purple stone. "Oh, shit," I swore as I sat up in bed. "Later, Jessamine, I promise."
"Hey, what about me?"
Sienna pouted, and she splayed out her perfect porcelain body as if to entice me.
"I get special time with a hero, too."
"Of course you do," I reassured her. There was truly nothing like having two princesses call me a hero. I supposed I'd at least partly earned the title when I defeated Jamar, the evil wizard general from Jessamine's kingdom, a couple of days back. But I was still trying to get used to the fact that I wasn't just a plumber anymore. With one last glance back at the princess's perfect bodies, I clambered down to the foot of the bed and climbed down off the huge platform it rested on. The clothes that had belonged to the former prince, Sienna's late husband, had been roughly thrown on the floor last night when all the fun started, and I quickly began to pick them up. I pulled up a pair of brown leather pants, and I groaned when the material stuck to my legs. I was now relegated to the old prince's casual wear, and there was so much leather involved. Sienna's personal tailor was working on a customized wardrobe for me, but it would be a few days until the clothes would be ready. I finally got the pants pulled up and a shirt thrown on, and I was expecting one of Sienna's manservants to come any minute now and bring me down to the castle's courtyard below. The last thing I needed to do before we left was put my boots on, since that was one thing that hadn't changed about my wardrobe. I still wore the same old brown, lace-up work boots I had back in California. Suddenly, a rough knock came at the door. "Well, that was louder than I was expecting," I told the princesses, since in general the servants tiptoed around us.
"I hope everything's all right,"
Sienna said, and she sat up in bed and pulled a comforter up over her bare chest.
"Go on, Joe. Open it."
When I threw open the door, a man stood there. He was pale and wringing his hands, so I guessed he was stressed about something.
I'm sorry to bother you, sir, but there's a problem down on the castle grounds,
the servant said as he bowed his head.
I think you need to tell the princess, because she really needs to see this.
Did you hear that, Sienna? I called back to her, but my wives were already up and getting dressed.
I did,
the blonde replied in a grim tone.
I really hope it's nothing serious.
Sienna and Jessamine were ready within a couple of minutes, and once I grabbed Jeannie's wrath, we proceeded rapidly down one of the castle's luxurious corridors. The hallway had gleaming wood-paneled walls lined with portraits of kings and generals past, and silver suits of armor stood in the corners and seemed to keep watch over the castle. We rushed down the castle's marble staircase and made our way out to the courtyard, and as soon as he saw Princess Sienna, a soldier with a concerned look on his face made his way over to us.
"It's General Grigsby," the man said in a hurried tone. "Something's wrong with him. I don't even know how to explain it. He's over behind the East Tower."
"General Grigsby?"
Sienna explained, and she turned to us to explain.
"Oh, this isn't good. General Grigsby is one of the top-ranked soldiers in my military, and a personal friend."
"All right, let's go check it out," I replied. It seemed we couldn't go more than a day or two without running into more trouble. We followed the soldier across the castle's courtyard to a huge stone tower, and he led us around the back. We were now in a hidden part of the castle grounds, and although I could see kitchen maids coming in and out of a door a couple of 100 feet away, the area was mainly deserted.
"General Grigsby's through here," the lower-ranked soldier said, before he quickly dashed off, as if he didn't want any part of the trouble.
Now we could see a man standing before us in full general's regalia. Gold epaulets decorated the shoulders of his double-breasted, pale-blue uniform, and a bright orange sash adorned with many medals ran down his torso. He appeared to be blankly staring off into the distance through the castle walls to the trees below, and he didn't even flinch as we approached him.
"He doesn't look like himself."
Sienna frowned and elbowed me and Jessamine in the sides. Then she started walking faster toward the soldier.
"General Grigsby, how are you?"
The man didn't look at us as we approached, which was strange. He seemed to stand totally motionless with the same blank expression on his face, and I was starting to get a little weirded out.
"General!"
Sienna spoke again, louder this time.
"It's me, Princess Sienna! How's your family?"
This time, the general glanced at us for a second, but I couldn't see his eyes from under the brim of his helmet. Then he immediately turned away from us again and still didn't respond to Sienna. That's weird.
"Do you think he's okay?"
the blonde asked as she looked back at me and Jessamine with a furrowed brow.
"This is definitely not how he normally acts."
Jessamine and I glanced at each other warily. After everything we'd been through recently, any strange behavior seemed like it could turn into a huge problem. So I moved closer behind Sienna and she shouted out to the general one last time.
"General Grigsby, are you all right?"
"Sienna, let's pull back a little," I said as I grabbed her arm. We were about 10 yards away from the general now. I'm not sure this is safe."
"I get that, Joe,"
the blonde princess replied with a puzzled expression.
"I wouldn't be pushing so hard if this man wasn't one of my closest friends."
Jessamine and I looked at each other again, and I put my hand on Jeannie's wrath.
"I don't have a good feeling about this,"
Jessamine hissed as she grabbed her scimitars from her belt.
"Me neither," I told the beautiful princess.
Suddenly, General Grigsby looked up at us, and I could see his eyes fully for the first time. A strange white light flashed from his pupils, and then he pulled a long, gleaming sword out from his belt, turned toward us, and charged. I instinctively jumped forward, and I put a protective hand in front of Sienna as I pulled Jeannie's wrath from my side. Then the blonde princess froze time, and I gasped as the world stopped around me. The man had been positioned to strike upward through my groin with his sword, and while I was fairly certain I could have parried, I was grateful for the assist.
"Thanks, Sienna,"
I grunted as I stepped out of the way of his blade.
"We need to subdue him,"
she gasped in response, and her brow creased as she concentrated on maintaining her time magic.
"Whatever you do, don't kill this man. We need him in my army."
I wanted to say he apparently wasn't part of her army anymore, but I didn't want to argue when the blonde looked so distraught.
Fine. I'm going to disarm him while there's still time."
I grabbed the blade from his hand and tossed it to the side out of reach.
"I have your back, hero,"
the dark-haired woman replied with her scimitars brandished. A moment later, time roared to a start again, and I faced off against the now swordless man. He glanced down at his empty hand in bewilderment for a split second, but then he snapped his head up, charged again, and slammed into me with his shoulder. "Gah!" I grunted as the wind was knocked out of me. I teetered off balance, but I quickly recovered my footing and pushed the man back off me.
"Get him, Joe! You got this!"
The possessed general quickly charged again, and I swerved out of the way. Then I slashed out with Genie's wrath at the meat of his thigh. A crimson fountain splashed forward from the wound, but the man didn't even look down at his leg before he lunged at me again, and we were momentarily deadlocked. I shoved the general off me, and we started to circle each other. Blood continued to pulse from his thigh, but he didn't even stumble, and soon the paving stones were bathed in small puddles of crimson.
I need to take down this asshole!
Joe, please, don't hurt him too bad!
I didn't know how I was going to take him down with Genie's wrath without killing him, so it looked like we were going to have to go hand to hand. Well, fuck it. I slammed the tip of my giant golden sword into the ground and shot forward at the man. We grappled for a moment until I pulled his neck into a collar tie, and then I ducked under his arm and took him down with a bear hug. Thank God for my high school wrestling days. Sienna froze time again, and I laid on the ground with the man temporarily subdued.
This motherfucker is strong. That cut didn't bring him down at all. We're going to need to tie him up or something.
I have something for you, Joe,
Jessamine said, and she tossed me a rope with a proud smile.
I used my magical powers to transform a stick.
I caught the rope and quickly hogtied the man, and then I stood up and dusted my hands off. Now, we needed to figure out what we were going to do with the general. Time unfroze, and the general started to jerk and push against his restraints.
Joe?
Sienna began as she hesitantly leaned over the subdued soldier.
I think you need to see this.
I walked around to see the man from her point of view, and followed her gaze down to his leg, where I was presented with one of the most disturbing things I had ever seen. The skin on his leg began to knit itself back together and covered the bloody gash, and my jaw dropped open in horror. Even his pale blue uniform pants mended themselves, and soon it was like I'd never hit him at all. The general looked up at us with that strange white glimmer in his eyes as he struggled against the ropes, and I shuddered.
Okay, that's fucking weird and pretty gross. So, we've established the man is possessed, incredibly strong, and can apparently heal himself. And Sienna, you won't let me kill him, so what the hell do we do with him now?
Thank you for not killing him,
Sienna said, and then she frowned.
It will cause major discord among the troops if something happened to him. Not to mention, I'd hate to lose my friend of many years. This old thing is so strange, though. Why would he just be standing here, staring off into the air, and not attacking anyone?
Hell if I know. But in any case, we can't leave him on the ground here forever. I can already tell he'll break out of those ropes eventually, and I'm not really in the mood for another brawl.
What about the dungeon?
Jessamine asked.
I'm not sure yet, because I don't know how to transport him. It would look pretty crazy if everyone saw us dragging General Grigsby across the grounds. He's also clearly enchanted. We don't know the limits of his magical power at this point. I've only read about that healing magic before, and it takes a lot of energy. If Chernobog can pass that power along to his troops, he must be getting stronger.
God forbid the general is strong enough to break out of the dungeon, I said, as I scratched at my chin in thought.
Okay. I was leaving this as a last resort, because I like to take care of things on my own. But I do think I know someone who can help us.
Is it another soldier?
Not at all,
she said and smiled mischievously.
I think you're actually really going to like this solution. You're going to get to meet my godmother.
Okay, your godmother, I said with doubt in my voice. Let's see what you got. The beautiful blonde nodded and furrowed her brow, and she soon appeared deep in concentration. I saw her whispering to herself, and then she smiled.
Okay, it should be soon now. What are we waiting for?
Jessamine wondered as she looked around.
This is going to be good. Just wait and see.
As we waited, I grabbed Jeannie's wrath by the hilt, pulled it out of the ground, and put it against the general's throat. I didn't like the way the ropes around the general were starting to fray as he put more and more pressure on them with his wrists and ankles. And even if I didn't want to kill him, I definitely didn't want to be caught unprepared. Suddenly there was a huge pink flash, and I heard loud booming sounds. It was as if 100 magenta fireworks had gone off around us, and I choked a little on a puff of smoke. Then I heard a new voice call out.
Sienna, how have you been?
The feminine voice asked through the haze.
I see you have some new friends. How exciting. Meet Jessamine and Joe.
Sienna introduced us. I peered around, but I still couldn't see much through the pink and purple glittering fog. Finally, I started to make out the forms of the princesses, who now had a third person standing between them.
It's so nice to meet you,
Jessamine gushed, but I couldn't make out the third woman's face yet. I coughed again and waved smoke out of my eyes, and then I finally saw our new visitor. Holy shit! I breathed, and my mouth dropped open.
Joe!
Sienna laughed. I'm sorry, it's just... When you said your godmother, this wasn't what I was expecting, I murmured in awe. I saw Jessamine and Sienna look at each other and smirk, but I was having a little trouble controlling my reactions since I'd caught sight of the woman that had appeared. I thought she'd be old and... A tall, commanding strawberry blonde with a small crystal tiara on her head stood in front of me, and her lips twitched into a slight smile. Her angelic face was dotted with innocent-looking freckles, but her mysterious golden eyes appeared all-knowing. Her pale pink dress was little more than lingerie, and my cheeks warmed as I stared at the cleavage bursting out of the top of the laced-up bodice. The dress's short skirt flared at the hips, and it revealed long, toned legs that ended in a pair of pink stilettos. Hot damn.
Joe, Jessamine, meet my fairy godmother, Fiona,
Sienna said with a grin. Then she clasped Fiona's hand in her own and squeezed it tightly.
Fiona has gotten me out of many sticky situations, and I know she can help us with the general now. So, you must be the hero of a legend,
the visitor purred as she addressed me directly, and she ran a sharp, red-polished fingernail down my chest.
I have heard of your deeds already.
Yes, that's right, I stuttered, and I could feel my heart pounding. Everywhere I went in Fairyland, there was a new beautiful woman who got me all worked up.
So, Fiona,
Sienna said as she ignored my awkward stammering and gestured at the general on the ground.
We're in a bit of a situation. Wow, is that General Grigsby?
The fairy gasped.
I've heard news of soldiers being possessed, of course, but I have to admit, it's a surprise to see the great general this way.
It is.
Sienna nodded grimly.
I fear this plague is spreading into our kingdom, and we're going to have to come up with a plan to contain it. You know that's what I'm here for. Anything you have to deal with, I'm here to help.
The strawberry blonde fairy looked down at the man tied up on the ground with an intent look in her eyes, and I noticed for the first time she was holding some sort of wand with a glowing pink star on the end. Then she pointed at General Grigsby with the magical device, and his body immediately stopped jerking and twitching.
Will he be okay?
Jessamine asked with wide eyes.
Sure,
Fiona said and nodded.
It's just a temporary paralysis spell. It can't hurt him. But I'm going to try to think of something more permanent.
Can you help us move him somewhere? I'd not want him waking up and hurting either of my women. I glanced down at the man on the ground and noticed he had started to foam at the mouth. His eyes were still wide open and I could still see the strange white glow.
You. I like you,
the fairy told me with a sly smile, and a prickle ran down the back of my neck.
We're going to work well together.
Sienna was watching us with a smile on her face. What? I asked the blonde.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to find out,
she informed me in a tone I couldn't read.
Fiona will reveal all things in time. Anyway,
Fiona clapped her hands.
Let's take care of the general, and then we can work some other things out. It's a shame. General Grigsby is such a good man. But I promise I won't hurt him. We were talking about bringing him to the dungeon, but I was wondering if we couldn't come up with something better. If we hold him in the dungeon, it's likely other soldiers will see him and wonder what the hell is going on. And I hate to think of my friend being locked up like a common criminal, even if he is possessed.
You have a whole palace here. Is there anywhere else we could keep him?
Yes, Hero. You're right. Could we move him somewhere else in the castle? Perhaps,
Sienna said, and glanced down at the man on the ground.
There are many bedchambers here. We can move him to an empty room and try to keep the servants away, because I want as few people as possible to know what's going on with the general. I definitely don't want anyone to know where he's being kept in the castle. Well,
Fiona said and tapped a finger against her ruby lips.
Unfortunately, I can't just transport him to another room, but I know,
Jessamine interrupted.
We could disguise him to look like something we could easily carry across the palace. Then no one will find out where he's hidden. What would be easiest?
It could be as simple as cake,
Sienna said, as she snapped her fingers. Cake? Don't you mean pie and easy?
Well, flour. We transform the general into a large flour sack. Then Joe can throw it over his shoulder, and we can take him to one of the palace's chambers. Perfect!
I can do that.
Jessamine trailed off as she looked at Fiona.
But it's probably better if you do it, since your powers are...
Go ahead!
The fairy godmother waved a hand.
I love to see a new enchantress practicing her marriage magic.
Well, I have been working on my spells with Joe's help,
she replied, as her cheeks turned a little pink, and she looked down at the ground shyly.
It's gotten a lot easier for me to transform people, and I'd like to try.
You can do it, Jessamine, I encouraged her. The raven-haired princess began to concentrate, and I saw the telltale shimmering air in front of General Grigsby that meant a major transformation was about to happen. In only a matter of seconds, the man looked like nothing so much as a large grain sack lying on the ground.
That was amazing!
Sienna marveled, and her azure eyes were wide.
You've gotten so much more powerful, Jessamine. Now, let's get moving before the illusion starts to fade.
Don't worry about that,
her fairy godmother replied.
When I'm around, everyone's powers are a little stronger. It should be easy for Jessamine to keep her magic going for quite a while.
Sounds good, I said, and I picked up the large brown bag and slung it over my shoulder. It couldn't have weighed more than 10 pounds, and I turned to my dark-haired wife with a grin. Wow, he weighs practically nothing. This is amazing, Jessamine.
Thank you, Joe.
My dark-haired wife blushed.
We should be able to go up a back staircase,
Sienna told us as she and Jessamine began walking.
There's a door in this tower that leads to a set of stairs, and we can take the upper walkways to the hall with the bedchambers.
Come on, Hero,
Fiona said, and she grabbed me by the arm to pull me along back toward the building. Sure, I stumbled along behind the beautiful woman, since she was surprisingly quick in her high heels. When we reached the side of the tower, the fairy pointed her wand at its heavy door, and it flew open and slammed into the outside wall.
Now I'm just showing off,
Fiona said, and winked at me. We proceeded into a dim stairway and began our climb, and we were obviously in a servant's area because the stairs were only made of old, dusty wood. The staircase climbed up in a spiral for at least 10 floors, and we were all out of breath when we reached the top. Sienna pushed open a door that opened onto an outdoor stone walkway. From this high up in the air, it was awesome to look down on everything I'd seen earlier in the courtyard below. I could see the light glinting off the knight's armor and barely hear the sounds of the horses whinnying. I followed the group of women down the passage with my flour sack, and we soon entered what appeared to be a hallway of servants' quarters. The simple iron beds in the chambers we passed were made up with plain white linens, and they were placed 2 to a room.
We can't keep him in this part of the castle,
Sienna commented as she walked briskly along.
Like I said, we need the servants out of the way. The safest place will be near our quarters, Joe and Jessamine.
I was thrilled when the princess referred to her private chambers as ours, because I still hadn't quite gotten used to the fact that I was now married to not one, but 2 incredible women.
So, I hear a lot's been going on with you, my darling Sienna.
Her fairy godmother mused, and I realized she'd also picked up on the blonde's comment.
Care to discuss? You know you're gonna find out later,
Sienna replied, and I could see her face was a little red.
What does that mean?
Jessamine chirped.
Just wait and see, okay?
Sienna said as we proceeded through the halls, and I couldn't wait to see what further adventures the day was going to hold. Our small party turned one final corner, and Sienna seemed to have reached the room she wanted. She swung open the door and gestured that the rest of us should enter. The chamber was small but still fancy, and heavy red drapes lined floor-to-ceiling arched windows and matched the plush, patterned rug. "Should I just put him on the bed?" I asked as I gestured to the sack.
Yes, I know what spell I want to do.
I laid the leather bag down onto the bed, and the fairy godmother raised her wand. When she opened her mouth to cast her spell, a series of words in a strange language tumbled off her tongue. Somehow the syllables sounded like birds chirping and waves crashing all at once, and the hairs on my arm stood on end. General Grigsby's original form then appeared on top of the blankets. The man was still hogtied, but he remained motionless.
Should we untie him?
Jessamine asked, but she sounded doubtful.
Yes, it should be okay. He's still under the paralysis spell from earlier.
Sienna gingerly reached out to untie the general's hands and feet, and, like her fairy godmother had promised, the man didn't move. So the blonde gently manipulated his body back into a normal lying position and closed his eyes. He now almost looked like nothing more than an ordinary sleeping man, and I could even see a little kindness in his face.
Now, to bind him,
the fairy godmother instructed. She pointed her wand at the bed, and thick green vines began to curl up through the blankets and entwine themselves around General Grigsby's arms and legs. The leafy vines twirled around his limbs and pinned him down, and when he was completely imprisoned by the creeping foliage, the strawberry blonde sat back to admire her work.
What do you think?
That's not obvious at all,
Sienna remarked, and while the effect had been pretty cool, it wasn't exactly subtle.
We're trying to hide a general, not grow a forest.
Sienna!
Fiona laughed, and I could tell she and the blonde princess were used to exchanging jabs.
Fine. I know what I can do. There's a type of magical coma I can put him into that will last way longer than the paralysis spell. When someone looks at him, it will even look like he's breathing and moving around, but he won't wake up. He won't need to eat or drink either, but he'll be just fine.
The fairy godmother cast her spell, and the man slowly began to stir. I placed my hand on Jeannie's wrath, and I could tell Jessamine was on guard as well.
No, it's okay,
Sienna assured us as she nodded toward the bed.
Watch.
Hey!
Fiona shouted into the general's face, but his eyes didn't open. Then she roughly reached out to shake his shoulder, but the man didn't stir. I said, and rubbed my chin. There's just one more thing.
What's that, Joe?
Jessamine looked up at me and blinked her deep brown eyes. What if the servants still come in here? Aren't they going to be mystified to see General Grigsby passed out on the bed?
We don't have to worry about that. I can put a confusion spell on the door to the room. If someone does happen to pay attention to the door, the spell will quickly take effect, and they'll just kind of wander off.
All right, I feel better.
Sienna smiled and put her hands to her chest in relief, but it was short-lived.
But I don't know what this means for our kingdom. What if there are more soldiers like this lurking around the castle?
Let's go back to your chambers, Sienna. We can talk more there. I think I have some more ideas to help protect our people.
Why am I not surprised? You want to come to my chambers. Typical Fiona.
With one final look at the transformed General Grigsby, the four of us slowly made our way out of the room, barred the door behind us, and headed back out into the corridor. Then Fiona mumbled another set of mysterious words to cast the spell on the door, and we were on our way. I wondered what exactly Sienna meant by typical Fiona, as I positioned myself behind the women to follow them down the hall. Fiona's hips swayed back and forth as she strode confidently across the marble floor on her heels, and my wives' asses weren't too hard on the eyes either. As if she could feel me watching her walk, the fairy turned around and gave me a quick smile before she turned back around to continue her conversation with the princesses. It was only a short walk back to the bedchambers the princesses and I had been sharing, and we all collapsed on the luxe couches and lounges that sat around the room.
"Should we get some wine?"
Fiona asked the rest of us.
"Yes, let's get some wine,"
Sienna agreed, and she looked beautiful and flushed from the morning's exertion as she laid back on a richly embroidered sofa.
"Why the hell not? And who wants to eat? I think it's brunch time by now." "I'm in,"
Jessamine replied and bounced in her seat.
"This will be fun. I don't want to think about possessed soldiers for the rest of the day."
Sienna rang a bell to summon her servants, and we made small talk while we waited for the food and drink to come. Soon a black-jacketed man arrived with a crystal carafe filled with a chilled, bubbly, rose-colored wine that could have been champagne. An assortment of colorful fruit juices went alongside the wine, and a large plate of fruit and chocolate accompanied a huge dish of pastries filled with cherries, apples, and sweet cheese. There were juicy sausages that shared a plate with the biggest pile of bacon I'd ever seen, and a pie that looked like a quiche filled with vegetables. After the servant placed the tray on an ornately carved mahogany table, he swiftly left the room, and the four of us were alone again. I had to say, castle life was even better than getting room service in the fanciest hotel I'd ever been to. "This is the life," I mumbled, as I shoved a strawberry into my mouth.
"But, Joe, we can't forget about the general."
Sienna wrung her hands.
"That was pretty bad today. I hate to think of what this means for the rest of the soldiers and the kingdom as a whole."
"Don't worry,"
her fairy godmother reassured her.
"My magic is very strong, and I can do a lot to help protect the kingdom right now. And I can tell your powers have gotten stronger as well."
"If your magic is so strong, why haven't you helped before?"
Joe!
Sienna gasped as her blue eyes went wide. "What? It's an honest question."
"That it is. Well, Joe, I'll have you know, Chernobog's reach has grown substantially in the last few years. I've been traveling to different parts of the world, trying to thwart him where I can. But I have a soft spot for Sienna. So when she called, I came."
"And you didn't call for her when you were trapped in that tent?" I arched an eyebrow as I turned to my blonde wife.
"I would have, if you didn't arrive, Joe."
"Yes, but I think it worked out for the better, no? Now Fairyland has a hero, and a growing number of princesses to aid in the war against Chernobog."
"Thanks, Fiona. I've been working on my powers, too, as you said. Well, especially since I bonded with Joe."
The blonde trailed off, and I suspected she hadn't told her godmother the big news yet.
"Well, well, well,"
Fiona said with sparkling eyes.
"So, you've bonded with the hero now. And how are you doing, Joe? Feeling good?"
The gorgeous strawberry blonde twirled a strand of hair around her finger and gazed over at me, and a chill went up my spine. "Well, life's pretty great, I have to say," I said, and grinned. "I have the two best wives in the world, and I'm here in this beautiful castle. What could be better than this? If only my friends back in Los Angeles could see me now."
"Joe's the best husband,"
Jessamine gushed, and she smiled in my direction as she nibbled on a square of chocolate.
"He's the bravest hero, and he's going to bring Chernobog down once and for all. I know it."
"Ah, yes. If you're the hero who's going to fight the evil demon, I can definitely make your power stronger through a special ritual, Joe. And I know this seems like an odd request, but we would need to bathe together first to purify one another. With your wife's permission, of course."
The strawberry blonde returned to Jessamine and Sienna, who looked at each other before they nodded their agreement.
"Yes, Fiona. You know I trust you. Even with my husband."
Sienna winked at her fairy godmother.
"I'm glad, because this is going to be beneficial for everyone. Maybe even me."
Fiona shot me a mischievous grin.
"Now, please excuse me for a moment. I need to go prepare for the beginning of the rites."
The tall beauty stood and made her way to Sienna's private bath, and the three of us all watched her leave. Once she was out of earshot, Sienna drained a goblet of wine and began to speak.
So, what do you think of Fiona, Joe?
The blonde asked, with a sly smile on her face.
She's beautiful, isn't she?
Well, she isn't too bad to look at, I guess, I stuttered, since I wasn't entirely sure what the rules were when talking about other women with my wives.
I think she likes you.
Jessamine giggled as she leaned forward onto her knees with a mischievous twinkle in her eyes.
Do you like her?
Well, I guess I'm not really sure what you mean by that.
Joe!
Fiona's voice suddenly called out from the other room.
Hero! Can you come in here now?
Here we go.
Sienna muttered, but she still had a smile on her face. Are you sure you're okay with this, both of you? I really didn't want to do anything to disturb my new marriages. I looked over at Jessamine, and she nodded.
I am, Joe.
Sienna reassured me.
You know I can be a little sarcastic, but I promise I'm fine with everything. We need to become more powerful, and Fiona will certainly help us.
My blonde wife stood up, pulled me up from my seat, and kissed me on the cheek. Then she led me over to the door of the bath, but I still wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. Fiona, I asked as I knocked quietly, are you ready for me?
Would you mind coming in? The door should be open.
I pushed the door open, and the room was full of steam from the huge sunken tub in the floor, which was big enough for 20 people. Then I saw Fiona in the bath, and she was sitting back with her long, reddish-blonde hair streaming out behind her, and she was totally naked.